Grab a seat. Welcome into another edition of the Pit Stop here, presented by Pittsburgh Sports Now and the Sports Now family of networks. There's a bit of the music that I wanted to lead into the show. I am Mike Osti, and that is Mike Vakovakan, and we will be joined by former Pitt Panther, former Central Catholic great. I'll give him the region as well. Johnny Patrician here in the middle portion of the show. Before that, we're going to talk about what kind of happened with Patrician's former team there in the Pitt Panthers losing to Georgia Tech this past weekend and what that means for the rest of the season, how that hiccup could have occurred, kind of under the radar hiccup, but it's one that exists for Pitt. And then kind of what's going on around the sports world in particular, of course, with former Pitt Panther Heisman candidate Kenny Pickett, who will go get the start for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Finally, Pickett mania is here for the Steelers. Didn't really work out with Mitch Trubisky, so it will be Kenny Pickett against Josh Allen. Steelers are heavy underdogs, but Pickett's certainly been in that role before. So, Mike, before we bring Johnny on, I do want to get your take. And Pitt falls to Georgia Tech. We talked with Eric McClain of the ACC Network and ESPN recently talking about how Pitt needed to flex their muscles in these games. And if they do, they could have an outside chance of really crawling up the rankings and getting top 15, top 10 yet again, where they were entering the season. You lose that game to Tennessee, but it wasn't too bad because you're without Slovis and Tennessee's a good team. You lose this game and it being a conference game, that's a whole different story. What are your thoughts now about this Pitt team after the loss? How surprising was that loss to you? And what do they need to do now? Because not to say Pitt's still doing the pitting thing, but it feels like a pitting type of loss for a team with a lot of hope this year.
Well, there is no way I'll admit that Pitt is going through, some issues regarding familiarity with, offense. They're dealing with a ton of injuries. But that withstanding, I didn't 100%. Think there was any way, even taking that aside, if they were playing a better opponent, I thought, I would think that maybe that would have some impact. I just thought Georgia Tech was so bad, and the fact that they were 21.5-point favorites.
Yeah,
there was no way they were going to lose. And as I was one of the people sitting at Acrisure Stadium in the rain on Saturday, miserable as hell, I just couldn't believe what I was seeing. That first half was – first three quarters were some of the worst football that I've ever seen from Pitt. And I've watched him for a long time. It was – the defense was good, but the offense was just – and it can't be the weather. I was waiting for somebody to bring that up as an excuse. There's something wrong with them right now, and I think it's a combination of things. And as I mentioned, the biggest thing is – and this isn't an excuse. They still should have beaten a terrible team in Georgia Tech, but with – when you combine all those things, a new system that everyone's trying to learn, your two of your top receivers coming in, learning the quarterback, and then your quarterback not playing for a while, not throwing meaningful throws since the Tennessee game, injuries all over the place. They just look like a team that had no rhythm, no continuity, no nothing.
And
it better change. Virginia Tech isn't a better an opponent. They're as bad as almost as bad as Georgia Tech is, hence the line of 14 or 15 points. But that line means nothing after what we saw last week. So I don't know what to make of it. I would assume Pitt's going to win. But after what I saw last week and just the pathetic display by everyone in the offense. That includes the offensive line, the quarterback, the wide receivers. And I'll give their running back some slack because I don't think they played too bad. But everyone else were just downright awful.
It was a really, really rough day at the office, already getting scary for the Pitt Panthers, and we're not yet at Halloween. Mike Fakovica and Mike Osti here. This is the Pit Stop, Pittsburgh Sports Now and Sports Now family of networks. Johnny Patrician will be joining us here later on in the show.
I'll say this, though, Mike. As we saw last year, and I'll just caution Pitt fans to don't, and once again, I'm not being a homer. Here's the funny thing, Mike.
And I saw your tweet, and I will attest that you have definitely crushed Pitt before when they deserve to be crushed.
Here's the thing that cracks me up. When I crush Pitt, I'm accused of being a Penn State fan.
Right.
And when I support Pitt or try to take their back on something, I get accused of being a homer and a fanboy and all that. So I think sometimes Pitt fans just don't know where exactly I sit, because I probably just call it right down the middle.
We can maybe ask our guest his opinion of you, since he has the Penn State and Pitt blood within him.
I'll say one thing before we bring Johnny in. Yeah. I would caution Pitt fans to not totally jump ship.
Right.
Because this team is still, despite what we saw on Saturday, I think this team is still very talented. I think they still have a favorable schedule.
Yeah.
And I still think they have the parts in the Coastal. It wouldn't shock me at all. And I still think they're, despite the loss, I'm still putting Pitt as a favorite to win the Coastal. I still think if you're going to lose to any team, Georgia Tech was the team you wanted to lose to, because they're not going to win too many more games, and you're not going to have to worry about head-to-head with them.
Right.
The pit is they have to beat North Carolina, they have to beat Virginia, they have to beat Miami, and that's still ahead. So if they do that, everything is still on track. This is not a bad football team, talent-wise. They're just not playing up to their capabilities right now.
And it is something that needs to be said, too, about this is a defending conference champion. However, Kenny Pickett is not there. Mark Whipple is not there. You are changing systems. You are adding a new quarterback in. And the elephant in the room that nobody really wants to discuss, Jordan Addison not being there. When Slovis decided to come aboard to Pittsburgh, he thought he was going to be able to throw to Jordan Addison, who was the Biletnikoff winner and best receiver in the country a year ago. He's at USC. Not exactly saying him being there, all of a sudden this team is undefeated and going to win national title, but it'd certainly be easier to have a veteran who had been there to be able to throw to. So a lot has gone against Pitt. Also injuries that you brought up as well. But with all of that said, it is a loss that you just can't have.
But I'm not going to buy into that, Mike, the Jordan Addison thing. Just here's why.
It would be easier, though, to have a veteran receiver.
It would be easier, but you still need
for you.
Yeah, but you still need time to throw the football. And
right.
I'll still say this, and I wrote this the past week. If you ask me right now, the most disappointing aspect of the Pitt football team this year, it's the play of the offensive line.
Which was supposed to be a strength
exactly.
of the team.
Keaton Slovis is not Kenny Pickett in the sense that if something breaks down in the pocket, he's able to move around, extend the play and make a throw. But He still needs a few seconds to throw the ball.
As any QB
would. You don't
have
time to throw the ball. Right. You're not getting it to Jordan Addison. You're not getting it to, you got Jerry Rice out there. If your quarterback is not able to drop back and have a reasonable amount of time, he's not going to complete it. And this week we found out that, their best offensive lineman didn't play against Georgia Tech, Carter Warren, on the left tackle, which obviously affected things. The line is to me the biggest problem on this team right now. Second is Frank Cignetti needs his play call. They need to develop an identity on offense, and I don't believe they've done that yet. And I don't know how much of that is because of secretly or quietly how cautious he's being with the way his offensive line is playing, because I think when they're that bad, that changes your play calling.
Oh, 100%. And Pittsburgh fans who are also Steeler fans have certainly experienced that the last several years, and we'll get to that later on. The offensive line is what drives the whole bus, even though they're very underrated in terms of a unit in all segments of football. Mike Fakovic and Mike Osti. Little bit here, we will have Johnny Patrician join us, former Pitt Panther, former Penn State Nittany Lion, as we'll talk about Pitt, and then later on after Johnny, talk about Kenny Pickett starting for the Steelers. But I think your offensive line point is a really, really good one because, Mike, this team almost lost the backyard brawl to West Virginia. If they would have lost that game, one of the major reasons why, if they would have lost the game, would have been they really lost the battle of the trenches, what everyone thought was the key going into that game between the defensive line and Dante Stills of West Virginia and Pitt's O-line that many thought would be one of the better offensive line groups of the entire country. Five sacks on Keaton Slovis in that game. So Pitt's offensive line has had their hiccups this year. They've had their issues. Pitt maybe is lucky to have the record they are. And to paint the picture, because you did talk about the Coastal still certainly being something that Pitt absolutely can still win, which entering the year, you ask Pat Narduzzi, you want to win the division. You win the division. You then have a chance to win the conference. You win the conference, the Power Five major conference still, and still top three, you could say. You're going to have a solid situation bowl-wise, and this hiccup does take you out of the playoff, but who knows? You can still have a very, very special season, but it does put pressure on winning against North Carolina in those games because we have talked about before that maybe those games could be that one loss hiccup and they're still a good team, so it wouldn't be the end of the world. You now cannot be afforded that again because this Georgia Tech loss is a really – really bad one when you look at resume-wise. I mean, they got blasted by Clemson. Let me look at their losses here. They lost to UCF, who has been vulnerable this year. They're no longer ranked. And the ranked team they lost to besides Clemson is Ole Miss, who they lost 42-0. And Ole Miss has been a team, granted in another conference in the SEC, that has been right there in both of our rankings, near Pitt. So at this point, if you're deciding if Pitt's going to get ranked again or where they would get ranked, obviously, Ole Miss has set themselves as being better than Pitt, still winning and having that common opponent where they just totally dominated. So that's where this vibe now is for the Pitt Panthers here. Outside of the offensive line here, before we add Johnny on, and then even Slovis's play, because he's also dealt with injuries. It is a new system, unlike Pickett, who had been familiar for several years, 5 years, and then a couple years with Mark Whipple. What would you say would be a key to that Virginia Tech matchup in particular for Pitt? Because Virginia Tech is a team that they're not ranked. That's not a good Virginia Tech team. They've lost this year plenty, and they lost to West Virginia pretty handily. That's a team that Pitt beat. But who knows at this point? In terms of that matchup, is there a key for you?
Yeah, I think Pitt needs to score first. I think they need to score offensively first. I think if they show something early in that game, I think some of their problems of the last few weeks as far as moving the ball will go away a little bit. But I also think they need to do it through the air. I think they've shown all year the ability to run the ball. A problem that they've had, and this has been a surprise of mine, thing that surprised me is how ineffective their wide receivers have been. You know, you brought up Jordan Addison, and you know, if you're talking about that, I'll agree with you on that. He's going to help with this. I thought these guys were going to be a lot better at this point than they were. Unfortunately for them at this point, I don't see, and it's four games or five games or whatever it is.
Yeah.
I don't see an explosive guy there that's is going to catch a ball and then is
a true one. You don't see a kind of a replacement. Well,
Jared Wayne's a very good receiver,
right?
But I don't see a guy that's going to take a fight like Jordan Addison does. Takes a 6-yard ball and turns it into 25 or 30. The guys now are maybe catching a 5-yard ball and taking a 10. I'm not seeing the explosiveness that I thought we're going to see out of, you know, maybe Bub Means, Cofield, some of those guys, which has been a little bit surprising on my part. I thought they were going to be a lot better than they were, but I will say that it's still early. It's still a new system. They're learning the quarterback. They haven't really thrown a lot with Keaton Slovis. People are talking about he needs to anticipate and throw ahead to a receiver instead of waiting for them to get open. I still think he needs to trust them, and they still need to know what they're doing. I don't think those two positions are on the same page yet, which is why, you know, we're not seeing a lot of stuff in the passing game.
And it's easier said than done.
Yeah,
it's not like, again, you had years, you had months to get this chemistry rolling. You don't really have a traditional one, and 50-50 balls, that's all going to be won by Jordan Addison. Who knows now? We do have our guest joining us here in the Pit Stop here again by Pittsburgh Sports Now and the Sports Now family, Johnny Patrician, former Pitt Panther, former Nittany Lion, Penn State Nittany Lion, and also I will give him former Central Catholic Viking, as I also am a Central Catholic alum. So, Johnny, first off, thanks for joining us. And I will actually lead you in by saying, I know we were supposed to do this last week with you, and you had a lot going on that we understandably gave you a pass, and we brought you back on this week. So before we get into Pitt and your thoughts about your former team, what were you dealing with, for anybody who's not aware, last weekend?
Yeah, well, first off, thanks so much for having me today, guys. I'm excited to join the show and talk to you guys about some ball. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
But yeah, unfortunately, last week, this Northeastern boy experienced his first hurricane. And it was honestly unexplainable. I thought things I saw firsthand, I thought they only happened in movies and television. And I watched the whole hurricane from my window. Luckily, I'm very fortunate and none of my belongings were damaged. But, you know, the things from driving around town down here, seeing houses, boats, cars torn apart, it's really sad. You know, businesses, I mean, people's lives are torn apart. So I was very fortunate, like I said, but it's like a movie. And it was like the town down here is like a zombie apocalypse right now. It's pretty crazy.
Where are you exactly, and what's the state of the town? What's the current, you know, it's been a week later. What, you know, what's the landscape of where you are right now?
Yeah, so I'm in Naples, Florida. I'm down here staying at my trainer's place on standby until I get picked up again. So I'm sure you guys know I've bounced around from a few teams, day camp, and so over the summer. So now I'm down here training again and staying ready. I'm at my trainer's place, who's very nice to let me stay and work out with me every day. But yeah, so I'm in Naples, and everybody expected the hurricane to hit Tampa, which is about 2 hours north of here. So I guess at the last minute, it made a turn for Naples and was a direct hit here. So we were without power and air conditioning and electricity for probably 5 days.
Wow. Wow.
My parents are still up in Pittsburgh, and they were freaking out because they were watching the news.
I can imagine.
But I communicate with them. So they had no idea what was going on. So I was driving around for a few days trying to find some service, and I finally got a spot. So I pulled over to the side of the road and called everybody and sat in the car for about an hour to make everybody, you know, let them know that I'm okay. I'm a big boy, and I could survive on my own for a few days. But you know, no restaurants were open, no grocery stores. You know, gas stations were all shut down. It was really crazy, and it's really nothing you can prepare for. I filled up my car with gas the day before the hurricane. I went to the grocery store, but
at least you did those things. I mean,
I know. I'm trying to learn a little bit. You know, some Floridians they've been through a few of these. This is my first one.
Yeah. Right. Wow.
Former Pitt linebacker Johnny Patrician joining us now on the Pit Stop. John, let's get you into the current state of Pitt football. You've been around. You've been around winning. You've been around losing. Obviously, you know, the mindset of fans and everybody have changed a little bit since last Saturday with Pitt. What are you seeing right now? I'm sure you've kept up with the team. What are you seeing with the team that's going on right now? And is there something – is it just a bad stretch? What are you seeing the biggest problem right now that's going on with your former team?
Yeah, I was able to watch the game on Saturday. I've watched all the games, but I was going to miss the game because we didn't have power or electricity here. So I actually I drove over to Miami.
Do you wish you would have missed the game at this point?
I drove over to Miami on Saturday afternoon to stay the weekend with one of my buddies, and they weren't affected at all. So I was able to watch the game there, and it was disappointing. Obviously, you know, being a 3-touchdown favorite against a Georgia Tech team at home in the ACC opener, you know, I don't think that was the result that any of us expected is what we got. So, I keep in constant communication and contact with multiple players and friends on the team and coaches. I talked to a few coaches the other night on the phone for an hour or so. Because, you know, I don't have the inside scoop like I used to anymore. So so they told me what was going on. And I think they'll be able to get back on track. And I compare it to, like, last year, I said publicly a few times, I think the Western Michigan game was really the best thing that ever happened to us. I mean, it was painful as heck in the moment. And, you know, everybody gave up on us. And it was embarrassing to lose to a MAC team like that. But it really exposed flaws in our system and our scheme and our game plan that allowed us to improve down the line. And at the end of the season, looking back, it was better that that was exposed in week 4 or week 3 than, you know, in the ACC championship. So, and I mean, there's just so many new parts. I mean, there's a new offense that everybody's getting used to. You know, we've had many different quarterbacks. We've had 3 different quarterbacks so far. So, I mean, people think you can just plug and play, but there's consistency and communication that you need to get used to between players, and not every player is the same. Everybody has a different playing style. So I really like Slovis. I think he's really impressive. And I think he's played a lot better than what people are giving him credit for. I think the offense would benefit from letting him, you know, spin it a little bit more. I think he's great. I mean, we have a great rushing attack as well, but I love to see the guy throw the ball a little bit more.
I hear that. Yeah, Johnny Patrician here from our Pitt Panther joining us here in the Pit Stop, brought to you by Pittsburgh Sports Now. Now, I do want to ask you kind of from, because we talked a lot about Slovis being a high-level quarterback, but it is a chemistry process. It is a maturation process. Just plugging a guy in, this isn't a video game that we're dealing with here in real life. But from a defensive perspective, if you know you're facing a QB that you don't think has built chemistry with his receivers, with his weapons, that's still learning, especially if he's not fully healthy, that had to miss time, etc., is that a situation that you're feasting in? And how does that change the defensive game plan? Could that also be the problem? The defenses are salivating at this situation, even though understanding his talent.
Yeah, for sure. As a defender, you know, it's kind of like a shark. You smell blood in the water. And, you know, anytime a quarterback is limping into a game, you know, you want to get after him. Obviously, you don't want to hurt anybody, but, you know, anytime a quarterback is not at full force, you want to get after him and take advantage of that as much as you can and put pressure on him. And especially when you sense things like inconsistency, you know, with chemistry, like you said. I mean, these are all new receivers. I mean, Slovis hasn't even known these receivers for a year, you know, let alone on to know exactly what the other guy's thinking in a split second. And learning a new offense. I mean, that's not an easy thing to do. And same thing goes with the defensive side of the ball. I mean, there's a lot of new linebackers in there and transfers. And I was talking to some coaches the other day, and they said, JP, like, you know, it didn't click for me overnight. It really didn't. It took a while for me to learn the defense coming from Penn State to Pitt. And then one day it just clicked and I understood it all. And, you know, you have to be able to think on the fly and make adjustments and audibles and checks, you know, in milliseconds and know your assignment. And when you're thinking too much, it's going to slow you down and you're not going to play. Yeah. So, you know, it's a learning process, and I expect them to get better every week as the season goes on.
Last thing before we get into your current situation, knowing Pat Narduzzi, knowing the coaching staff there, you know, the fans are freaking out. And you know, some of them are giving up on the team. What's Pat Narduzzi's mindset? Does he, you know, realize, does he address what happened last week and try to create a little more sense of urgency, or is it just business as usual and he's just going to trust that the talent on the team that he believes in is going to figure things out, or does he press it a little bit this week and make sure that they're, you know, realize that they're 0-1 right now in the ACC?
Right. You know, with any game, a win or loss, the common theme across the country, a lot of teams use the 24-hour rule. You know, you don't want to get too high or too low after a win or a loss. Especially with an unexpected loss like that, I think you kind of just need to pretend like it never happened. You want to learn from it and move on. And, you know, you don't want to be licking your wounds into next week. I mean, it stinks. And you got to face the fact that it happened, acknowledge it. And when you go over the film, you need to grade the performance, not the performer. So guys need to, you know, take coaching and not get defensive, not take it as a personal slight, but realize that they're grading the performance that's on the field. And so I think they need to, like I said, learn what they could learn from that game and just forward and put it behind them. Like I said, we kind of did that with the Western Michigan game last year. I remember we had a players only meeting the day after the game. And, you know, that's kind of the mindset we had is, look, it happened. It is what it is. We can't change it now, but let's learn what we can and maximize the positives from this and take it forward with us and put all those tools in our tool belt. So Coach Narduzzi, he's not one to pay attention to what, you know, fans of the outside world is saying,
which I we know that, right?
Right, which I love about him. You know, it's kind of right. Like our family's in this room and everything outside of it doesn't matter. You know, the noise is there, but you don't hear it. So I love that about him because he's ready to go to battle with the people that are in that room with him. And, you know, Coach Narduzzi, he loves having a chip on his shoulder. So I think this is just, you know, more fuel to fire, and he'll take it with him, and he'll prove people wrong on the way.
Yeah, we definitely know that about him as well, and it's worked out. So have people that have that chip on their shoulder, it often leads to success, and certainly was the case last year for Coach Pat Narduzzi and the Pitt Panthers. Talking with Johnny Patrician here for a few more moments on the Pitt Stop, presented by Pittsburgh Sports Now. Mike Fakovic, and I'm Mike Osti. So I do want to kind of ask you, you mentioned that you're training down there in Florida and unfortunately had to deal with the hurricane while down there, but you and yours are okay and you're dealing with it as best you can. So I'm glad we got you back on the show. But is there anything you can tell us in terms of have you received any phone calls, any looks, any possibilities? Where's your future maybe guiding you or taking you that you can talk about in terms of trying to get in the National Football League? Certainly your goals are there.
Yeah. So everything's in front of me. I was with the Buffalo Bills for mini camp, and then I was with Washington for mini camp for a little bit. And then so in the off season, I came down here to Naples, Florida, where I trained at for pro day process. And there's a lot of other, you know, NFL guys here as well. And so now I'm just training on standby, staying ready. I'm in the best shape of my life. My agent, who I'm in constant contact with every day, is talking to different teams every day. You know,
any of the NFL guys that obviously the fans would know of that maybe you're training with that you can mention?
Yeah. So all summer long, I was training with Matt Milano, who a lot of people compare me to. You know, we have similar playing styles going from safety then to linebacker, and he's having a great season with the Bills so far. Gardner Minshew is another guy that was down with me. Will Harris for the Detroit Lions. There's a handful of guys down here. And so it's great, you know, working with those guys and, you know, pushing each other and competing. And so it's fun. And, you know, we get a lot better and we push each other. But as far as my process right now, so the guys that are on teams, you know, they left and I stayed down here. And I'm just training, staying ready for my opportunity. And my agent and I are confident and optimistic that you know, we should get an opportunity here soon. You know, it's young in the season right now. And the way things work is like you work out with some teams, and I've done that recently. And a lot of times, you know, they're doing their homework early so that when an opportunity right down the road does come along, they already know what direction they're going to go in.
Last thing, Johnny, what's this like for you? How often are you looking at your phone? You know, I know you said it's fun, but I'm sure it also has, this is your livelivelihood. It's your dream. You want to play in the NFL. You want to make, you know, you want to make it to an NFL roster. Is it hard also just to try to keep, yeah, positive and try to keep making this fun?
Extremely, extremely stressful. And it's a different challenge that I've, I haven't faced before. You know, it's really how long can you sprint without knowing where the finish line is? And so the challenge every day for me is to go 100% in these workouts, and I'm getting my butt kicked every day, pushing myself to the limit when you don't know when it's going to pay off.
Yeah.
That's the hardest part, because it would be easy to, you know, say to yourself, oh, you know, I'm not playing football this week, so I could take a few reps off here, you know?
Yeah, who would know? Right, who would know? The teams aren't going to know if you took a day off.
Exactly. Right? So that'd be the easy thing to do, but I'm very confident that this will all pay off soon, and I know I'm meant for this. And I've had my back against the wall before so many times throughout my career. So those moments, you know, really prepared me for this. And I'm much more mature now, and I'm learning things about myself. I'm down here. It's too hot for me right now. I mean, it's like 100 degrees on the field every day. I want to be back. And I went home a few weekends ago to visit my family, and I'm like, wow, this weather is amazing. But so I'm getting better every day. I'm reading a lot of books. I'm learning how to cook on my own.
Oh, wow. Okay. So any conversation that maybe you had with maybe you wouldn't want to release this, but with Kenny Pickett about the Bills.
That's actually funny you say that, because I talk to Milano all the time, and Kenny as well. And, you know, they're both great competitors, and they're excited to face off against each other. I'll be tuned into that game for sure.
You said you cook. What's the go-to meal right now?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know if you guys know, I've talked about it a few times before, but I'm 100% vegan, plant-based. So, okay. My cooking, the things that I make for myself are a little bit different than what everybody else would eat. You know, I'm not making burgers or anything like that. Last night I just made some chickpea pasta, which is full of protein. We're making baby steps here. You know, at Pitt, the Steelers chef's making my meals for me every day. So I'm getting there slowly but surely.
Yeah, those meals are really, really top-notch at the facility. So it's hard to get that bar. I almost tried to call that guy to see if he would do the cookie table at my wedding, actually.
But, oh, the cookie table.
I thought about it, actually, yeah, because those cookies are just out of this world. You can't beat them in terms of – every one of them soft. It doesn't matter how long they've been there. Right. It's like a machine.
The best.
Johnny, we definitely appreciate the time. We know you're a busy man. You have a lot on your mind, and also tons of respect to you, obviously, because you had a great career at Central Catholic, Penn State, Pitt, and it is difficult to sprint without knowing the finish line. So you keep on the way you're going, and you're definitely going to get there. So we definitely appreciate it, man.
Hey, thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it. Central Catholic guy. I like you even more now.
Yeah, there you go. Yes, I am a Central Catholic alum. I'll let you see maybe on Twitter where I went to college, though. See if you still like me.
Okay.
But I am a Central Catholic guy. Yeah, so I appreciate it, man.
Thanks so much for the support and for having me, guys. And we're going to make this happen for sure. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Johnny Patrician there, former Pitt Panther, former Nittany Lion, former Central Catholic Viking, and future wherever in the National Football League, but he definitely will get there soon. We definitely agree that he's going to get there very, very soon. He's working now down there in Florida and spent time, Bills, Washington. It's going to happen for him for sure. So I definitely think that's going to happen here in the not-too-distant future. But to segue and finish up the show, a team that Johnny Patrician almost was a part of in the National Football League in the Buffalo Bills, they will meet the Pittsburgh Steelers. A lot of talk about the Steelers being a heavy underdog. I don't know if you saw Mike, but Von Miller has been doing the media car wash to kind of basically say that's not true. He doesn't want the Bills to be known as the heavy favorite in the game, but in reality, they are. There are many people's pick to win the conference. The Steelers obviously struggling, losing to the Jets. That's a pretty bad loss. Kenny Pickett, though, now going to be the starter. Doesn't necessarily fix everything with the Steelers, though. You still have similar problems on offense. He did throw some interceptions, even though he also got himself in the end zone. So that doesn't mean everything is now all of a sudden corrected. And other problems in other parts of the team as well, outside of just the offense. What are your thoughts about that game ahead and Kenny Pickett now getting the reins? The decision to give Kenny Pickett the keys to whether this be a Cadillac, a Honda, whatever it is. Do you like the call? Would you have maybe waited a little bit longer because the schedule is getting brutal? Do you think he has a chance with what's around him and what's in front of him to really have success? What's realistic expectations for Kenny Pickett and the Steelers right now?
I don't know how much success they're going to have, and I don't know that it's important to have success, to be honest with you, as far as team success. I'm not going to – I think it would be, the Steelers aren't a good team right now, and they're not. I don't think they're going to be a good team this year. So I think if you're not going to win, I know coaches will never buy into this, but I think it's always better to be really bad than to be in the middle.
Sure.
I just do. Until you're at a part where
Steelers never do that though.
Right.
And they hate that. They have admitted before they want to crawl into the playoffs and lose rather than win two or three games and be better in the draft. Deontay Johnson though did bring up recently, he kind of peddled this back, but he did bring up about we're in a rebuilding year. So it's not the end of the world. They would obviously never agree or admit that.
Yeah. And I just think it's going to be important for Kenny. And I think you put him in when you put him in. I don't think you hold him for soft part of the schedule. It's the NFL. You can't wait for opponents that you think are soft. Eventually, if you're going to win, eventually you're going to perform. You have to play against the best. And this schedule coming up here is no doubt going to be tough. Bills, Eagles, Dolphins, Bucks. That's not easy. But I'm excited for Pickett. I think the spark he brought last week. The key now is the challenge now is, it's a spark because it was his first game and first few series. How long can that go? Can that spark go for?
Yeah.
Eventually there has to be results and there has to be wins or, he'll feel the same way as Trubisky felt. But I think if we see the offense moving a little bit, I know a lot of people are talking about the offense being a problem too. The defense better get its act together here too.
I was going to say that's why I said other problems.
It's not just the offense and cause they were in a position to win. And once again, the fourth quarter, the Steelers defense, which is look, guys are making a lot of money, didn't perform.
Yeah.
They were bad, against a rookie quarterback or a second year quarterback. So, I know all the focus is on Matt Canada and Kenny Pickett and stuff, but it's a team thing here. And another thing that has to happen is his receivers need to make plays for him. I'm losing.
There was a debate on the Claypool pick, yeah, right? Whether that was on Claypool or AP.
Yeah, I'm not the biggest Chase Claypool fan right now. I think he's a guy and he's been this way for two years. He's 6'4", 200 and some pounds, and he plays like a 5'9" receiver. And if that's the case, get him out of the lineup. I honestly don't think it would be a terrible move. I don't think he's a guy that's ever going to live up to expectation. I don't think it would be a bad move for them to look to deal him before the trading deadline. I just think he's one of those guys that is always going to tease you with the way he looks, and he's just not going to ever be a maximized producer. He's just gonna disappoint you more than he's gonna wow you. That first interception yesterday, any receiver or most, I shouldn't say any because he didn't do it, but most receivers with his size and height are going to at least go down and knock that ball down. Most of them make the catch. And all these excuses, it wasn't a perfect ball. Every ball in the NFL is not going to be perfect. The ball was, instead of having your arms like this, get the ball at its highest point. It's real simple if you're a professional receiver. I'm not. You watch the tape.
Yeah.
You saw what happened there. Anyone can see what happened. And he let his quarterback down. Not that that was a big play. But a lot of people are going to have to help Kenny Pickett out. It's not going to be – Kenny Pickett is not going to win the game for the Steelers. He can help them win, but he needs help from his playmakers and he needs help more importantly from his defense.
Yeah. And he's saying all the right things. People love the moxie about him. Obviously he had comeback moments. He's been an underdog in college and then ended up with a legendary career. It can happen. We saw it in the preseason, but doing it in the NFL regular season is a different animal. So I'm not surprised there were interceptions there. There's going to be growing pains. At this point with Mitch struggling, you had to give it to Kenny Pickett. He is the future. This is a rebuilding year, whether the Steelers like it or not. They're never going to admit it, but it is. If you lose games with Kenny Pickett, it's not the end of the world, like it maybe would have been when you had a veteran who you were paying money and were going to trigger incentives if you kept playing. with Mitch Trubisky. So I like the decision. Yeah, it might be a few losses in a row. It might be bad play in a row. You're not going to pluck him out of the lineup, and we'll see. And Chase Claypool was one of those receivers and players in the entire NFL. We talked about this before the year that had more pressure on him than maybe anybody else to step up after a bad year last year and a solid rookie season. And he's not so far delivered. I don't think he'll be dealt, but that'll be interesting as well. So we will definitely see, but there will be growing pains there, and it'll be a really, really tough go these next few weeks. But you had to go Kenny Pickett at this point.
Here's the other thing, Mike, is it's a rebuild, but it's almost, and I, trust me, I'm very leery about putting these two organizations together. It's almost like they're the Pirates in the sense that there's Wait, let me continue. Okay.
Anyone who doesn't see the video, that was me with my eyes wide open if you're just listening.
There's parts there. It's not a team that you're like, oh, damn, this is going to be a while.
Right, if, say, Pickett wasn't there, you have hope for the future.
There's a lot of parts on the Steelers. They just don't have enough parts to be a legitimate contender. But when you're talking Pickett – and you're talking Harris,
George
you're
Pickens.
Talking Pickett, Pickens, you're talking Freiermuth, you're talking Deontay. There's something there. And it's the same with the Pirates with a handful of players that they have that I think they're not as far away as people think they are if they get help from their owner. And Sherrington is able to bring a couple guys in. They're not that far away from being a fun team to watch and being a team that can win. And I think that's the same with the Steelers. It's a rebuild, but it's not that far away. There's a few pieces. And the good thing is a lot of the core pieces that are going to make the Steelers good, they're young. They're not 29, 30 years
old. And even TJ Watt, who's been hurt this year, he's still very young. He's in his prime. Usually the teams that win championships, they have a solid quarterback, solid running game, solid receiver who can be a one, a really solid linebacker, maybe something in the secondary, certainly the line, the offense, defensive line. And these are just segment pieces that you look for, and obviously you need to build a lot more around them, and a coach that's experienced. Well, the Steelers are checking off all of those boxes to this point. Now, it just is the situation that I don't think Steeler fans are used to, because Mike Tomlin has literally never had a losing season, certainly experienced success even prior to Tomlin, even though there were peaks and valleys with Bill Cowher. And obviously everyone knows the franchise, that every year the fan base wants to win a championship. That is not realistic in pro sports. That is not realistic even in the NFL, where you can go last to first and back again. So that was not going to happen this year with anybody at QB. This team was not a championship caliber team. They're an average team. We are clearly now finding that out for anyone who wasn't aware of it. You might as well go with Pickett. You're seeing the future. There's reason to hope for the future and have hope, but it's evident that anybody who was saying, oh, they can win the division, the Bengals are going to come back to the mean, who knows once you get in the playoffs, etc., that was fool's gold. It was never going to happen. So this is a different era of Steeler football to root for that fans haven't experienced, but there is reason to be excited, and certainly to be excited when you have the – forget going to Pitt and all of that. This is the only first-round quarterback from the prior year's draft. No other QB was taken in the first round, and he is now your starter. That's reason to be excited. Less than a year ago, people thought they were going to have to deal with Mason Rudolph and whether he would be enough, or who knows what the situation would be, and you got to be excited at least about having Pickett there, but growing pains will exist. That'll do it for this edition of the show. Mike Fakovic and Mike Osti, once again, thanks to Johnny Patrician. We will see where his NFL future takes him. To follow him on Twitter to find out where eventually maybe he gets signed. We didn't break any news here where he could say, hey, I'm going to sign with this team, but it's going to happen for him, and we're also glad that he was able to make it out of dealing with the hurricane last week. Find at Pittsburgh Sports Now, of course, all over where you can listen to podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, etc., and here on our YouTube channel.